terrestrial or aquatic, large or small, even whether they were thought handsome and noble or of no consequence. Buffon arranged his animals by their utility to man. Anatomical considerations barely came into it. Linnaeus made it his life's work to rectify this deficiency by classifying all that was alive according to its physical attributes. Taxonomy, which is to say the science of classification, has never looked back. It all took time, of course. The first edition of his great Systema Naturae in 1735 was just 14 pages long, but it grew and grew until by the 12th edition, the last that Linnaeus would live to see, it extended to 3 volumes and 2,300 pages. In the end, he named or recorded some 13,000 species of plant and animal. Other works were more comprehensive. John Ray's 3-volume Historia Generalis Plantarum in England, completed a generation earlier, covered no fewer than 18,625 species of plants alone. But what Linnaeus had that no one else could touch were consistency, order, simplicity, and timeliness. Though his work dates from the 1730s, he didn't become widely known in England until the 1760s, just in time to make Linnaeus a kind of father figure to British naturalists. Nowhere was his system embraced with greater enthusiasm, which is why, for one thing, the Linnaean Society has its home in London and not Stockholm. Linnaeus was not flawless. He made room for mythical beasts and monstrous humans, whose descriptions he gullibly accepted from seamen and other imaginative travellers. Among these were a wild man, Homo ferus, who walked on all fours and had not yet mastered the art of speech, and Homo caudatus, man with a tail. But then it was, as we should not forget, an altogether more credulous age. Even the great Joseph Banks took a keen and believing interest in a series of reported sightings of mermaids off the Scottish coast at the end of the 18th century. For the most part, however, Linnaeus's lapses were offset by sound and often brilliant taxonomy. Among other accomplishments, he saw that whales belonged with cows, mice, and other common terrestrial animals in the order Quadrupedia, later changed to Mammalia, which no one had done before. In the beginning, Linnaeus intended only to give each plant a genus name and a number, Convolvulus 1, Convolvulus 2, and so on, but soon realized that that was unsatisfactory and hit on the binomial arrangement that remains at the heart of the system to this day. The intention originally was to use the binomial system for everything, rocks, minerals, diseases, winds, whatever existed in nature. Not everyone embraced the system warmly. Many were disturbed by its tendency toward indelicacy, which was slightly ironic, as before Linnaeus, the common names of many plants and animals had been heartily vulgar. The dandelion was long popularly known as the pissabed because of its supposed diuretic properties, and other names in everyday use included mare's fart, naked ladies, twitch ballock, hound's piss, open arse, and bum towel. One or two of these earthy appellations may unwittingly survive in English yet. The maidenhair in maidenhair moss, for instance, does not refer to the hair on the maiden's head. At all events, it had long been felt that the natural sciences would be appreciably dignified by a dose of classical renaming, so there was a certain dismay in discovering that the self-appointed prince of botany had sprinkled his texts with such designations as clitoria, fornicata, and vulva. Over the years, many of these were quietly dropped, though not all. The common slipper limpet still answers on formal occasions to crepidula fornicata, and many other refinements introduced as the needs of the natural sciences grew more specialized. In particular, the system was bolstered by the gradual introduction of additional hierarchies. Genus, plural genera, and species had been employed by naturalists for over 100 years before Linnaeus, and order, class, and family in their biological senses all come into use in the 1750s and 1760s. But phylum wasn't coined until 1876 by the German Ernst Haeckel, and family and order were treated as interchangeable until early in the 20th century. For a time, zoologists used family where botanists placed order, to the occasional confusion of nearly everyone. To illustrate, humans are in the domain Eukarya, in the kingdom Animalia, in the phylum Chordata, in the subphylum Vertebrata, in the class Mammalia, in the order Primates, in the family Hominidae, in the genus Homo, in the species Sapiens. The convention, I'm informed, is to italicize genus and species names, but not those of higher divisions. Some taxonomists employ further subdivisions, tribe, suborder, infraorder, parvorder, and more. Linnaeus had divided the animal world into six categories: mammals, reptiles, birds, fishes, insects, and vermes, or worms, for everything that didn't fit into the first five. From the outset, it was evident that putting lobsters and shrimp into the same category as worms was unsatisfactory, and various new categories such as mollusca and crustacea were created. Unfortunately, these new classifications were not uniformly applied from nation to nation. In an attempt to re-establish order, the British in 1842 proclaimed a new set of rules called the Strickland-ian Code. But the French saw this as high-handed, and the Société Zoologique countered with its own conflicting code. Meanwhile, the American Ornithological Society, for obscure reasons, decided to use the 1758 edition of Systema Naturae as the basis for all its naming, rather than the 1766 edition used elsewhere, which meant that many American birds spent the 19th century logged in different genera from their avian cousins in Europe. Not until 1902, at an early meeting of the International Congress of Zoology, did naturalists begin at last to show a spirit of compromise and adopt a universal code. Taxonomy is described sometimes as a science and sometimes as an art, but really, it's a battleground. Even today, there is more disorder in the system than most people realize. Take the category of the phylum, the division that describes the basic body plans of all organisms. A few phyla are generally well known, such as mollusks, the home of clams and snails, arthropods, insects and crustaceans, and chordates, us and all other animals with a backbone or proto-backbone, though things then move swiftly in the direction of obscurity. Among the latter, we might list Nathostomelida, marine worms, Cnidaria, jellyfish, medusae, anemones, and corals, and the delicate Priapuna.